scheduled to be joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, here in the next few minutes. We'll go around college football at 5:10 as well. You can interact with us, as always, on Twitter at the Game 1350. It is the first day of camp for K-State football. Chiefs have been in camp for, a little over a week now? Week or so?
Right around a week
for camp for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll get an update on that as soon as we get Mitch Holthus on the line, but we have our own inside Chiefs training camp sources that we can bring to you. What day did you go?
I went on Saturday.
Saturday. What happened on Saturday?
Well, it was very steamy, and it was my first time.
Steamy.
It was my first time at Chiefs camp. I had always wanted to take that trip and see what it was all about, and I'll tell you what, one thing that immediately stands out is just how many Chiefs fans are out there in the 95-degree weather, and they just want to sit there and watch in the hot sun, and it's really impressive. I mean, Chiefs fans love taking that trip to St. Joe, but the number one thing that stuck out to me, Jeremy Maclin is fast, and he and Alex Smith were running some deep routes and putting together a pretty good connection on a lot of those long balls, and it really encourages you to see that, because that's one thing that has kind of been a criticism of Alex Smith for his whole career, is that he can't throw the deep ball very well. If he and Maclin can hook up on some 40, 50-yard connections this year, it's going to be really, really big for that Chiefs offense.
It's sort of a kind of like the Royals having a boring spring training because there wasn't a lot to get sorted out. There's not that much in terms of big position battles with the Chiefs. I know a lot of people think the offensive line, is maybe the most intriguing part of what's happening, because you have some different options there, including Mitch Morris, who was the draft pick from Missouri. But, you know, you have Maclin. You know he's going to be there at wide receiver. You've got Alex Smith. You got Jamal Charles. He's there in camp. Justin Houston is there because they ended up getting that contract signed. The Eric Berry story, I guess, is nice, and maybe seeing if Eric Berry can actually get in there into the starting lineup would be something as well. But, I mean, for the most part, I don't think there's a whole time. I mean, the Chiefs are in a good spot. It's a sign your team's pretty good when you don't have all that many questions and that much to sort out.
Yeah, well, the two things that they were working on a lot when I was there, number one was some offensive sets with a lot of screen passes and then those deep balls to Maclin, as I mentioned. The other thing was kickoff return. There was a lot of that going on. It was my first time to see DeAnthony Thomas in person since the Fiesta Bowl when he torched K-State on the
on
the opening kickoff. Good memories there. And I can report that he is still just unworldly fast, just ridiculous. And for the record, he does not take any reps off when it comes to kickoff return. You know, they weren't wearing pads. They were only in helmet and shorts, and he was going 110%. And, you know, that's kind of what you expect from a guy like him. He takes things very seriously, and he was just putting on a show for everyone that was watching.
He's still, I think, the fastest guy that I've seen in person. If you're going to talk about DeAnthony Thomas,
yeah,
I think the fastest player that I've seen in person, being down on the field for, 4 years in a row now with K-State games, I think he's the fastest player I've seen in person.
Of course, the other thing is I saw Tavon Rooks, former K-State offensive lineman, taking a lot of reps with the backup offense when they were coming out onto the field, so that was kind of good to see as well. Hope that he can actually find a home there in Kansas City.
Yeah, that may be a tough road for him to hoe.
We'll see.
Finding a roster spot. I was seeing Adam Teicher, who covers the Chiefs for ESPN.com, tweeting out a list of the second-team offensive line, and Rooks was not on there. But as I said, I mean, it's not the strongest offensive line in the world, so I think there'd be a chance that he could latch on somewhere. And again, we hope to be talking with Mitch Holthus here in the next few minutes for his first training camp report of the 2015 football season. You'll hear him throughout football season just like you did last year. Sounds like defense has been what has really shined so far for the Chiefs, including Marcus Peters. I'll tell you what, one really good sign, because Sean Smith, the Chiefs' best corner, is going to be out for 3 games at the beginning of the year because of that suspension. Good news if Marcus Peters is going to play well, because they're going to need someone to take over at corner for Sean Smith in the early part.
Alex Smith fires for the end zone. He's got a touchdown! Travis Kelce, a post pattern at the back of the end zone.
Manning on 3rd and 3.
Pressure, he's hit, the ball comes out. Kansas City hacks it away from Manning, and Kansas City's got that football.
Charles trying to bounce it outside.
He's at the 40 of the Cardinals. Goodbye, Cardinals! Touchdown! Kansas
Time to talk Chiefs football with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
And we welcome in Mitch Holthus to the game, voice of your Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, we were just talking a little bit about what's gone on so far at Chiefs training camp. What to you has stood out the most and been the biggest storyline so far in week one?
I think one on each side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, this is the most speed that this team has had easily in my 22 years as the voice of the Chiefs. It reminds me so much of my days at Kansas State, where we just kind of increased the talents as the years went on, and we just regained or got more team speed every year with Bill Snyder. Today at practice, and I even tweeted this out, or I retweeted something about how when we went four wide today, it was literally like an Olympic 4x100-meter relay team. I said, this 4x100-meter, I think we're going to take state with it. Albert Lewis, DeAnthony Thomas, who's been ridiculous so far in this camp, and then you got Jamal Charles. And so you have a three-wide, actually, three-wide one-back with a tight end, Kelsey. So that's apparent. And Jeremy Maclin's impact, and I'm going to – his impact, guys, on and off the field, the obvious and not-so-obvious impact, and remind – ask me later about that. Then on the defensive side, I would say the increased athleticism of the young cornerbacks. I heard you while I was on break talking about the suspension of Sean Smith. Marcus Peters has flashed so far in this camp. And keep in mind, the rookies have been here with me since a week ago, Tuesday. We've been here now 8 days. And Peters has had a very good camp. He flashed 2 days ago. This is Wednesday. It was Monday. We were forced indoors because of lightning, and he had three interceptions and two other very athletic defensive plays. And then I'll add a third observation, and that is the return. The return of Eric Berry, which is miraculous, from cancer. You know, basically 10 months or 9 months ago, being diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then the return of Eric Johnson and Mike DeVito from what we thought could have been career-ending Achilles injuries. All three of those guys, most notably DeVito and Eric Johnson. We've got to be careful with Eric and not get ahead of ourselves there. But those other two, Johnson and DeVito, are ready to help this team win.
Mitch, I was able to make my first ever trip out to Chiefs training camp last Saturday. It was a great time, really enjoyed the hospitality in St. Joe and was able to take in a couple hours of practice.
Well, stop just a second. How cool is that?
It's awesome. I cannot believe how many Chiefs fans will turn out for a 95-degree football practice.
And you're a couple hours from Manhattan. It's just not that far. It's easily done by just zipping up and zipping back, and you never get this close to the players. Andy Reid is very good about it, player accessibility, and you just, I mean, you smell it. You're this close. It's not like you're looking at this thing from an upper deck. You're right on top of it, and you're in Bill Snyder's hometown. So, I mean, he's a former Lafayette Celtic.
Valid point.
You can't get any better than that now.
Yeah, no, it was a really great time, and I will definitely be making another trip back sometime soon. But the observation, the number one observation that I had from watching it in person, I just love seeing Jeremy Maclin with his long routes, deep routes down the field, and the way that Alex Smith was connecting with him. And I know that that's been something the Chiefs have wanted to add to the offense for a while now, that deep ball threat. How much can Jeremy Maclin open up this offense?
Well, it's like watching Tyler Lockett or Kevin Lockett do it at Kansas State. That's what it reminds you of, because Jeremy Maclin is a superb route runner. Now, we can also run routes nice and be kind of fast, but if you don't catch it, it's a problem. The Chiefs were 30th in the league last year. Only two teams were worse in drops. And I think, if my memory serves me right, they were last in 2013 and still won the division. I mean, so Maclin had some great catches yesterday, 10 catches now the last 2 days. What's obvious is his production so far this in camp, what you're alluding to. And last year with the Eagles, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns, 140 targets, two drops. What's not so obvious is what I've seen this spring and summer and in this camp. And I kind of alluded to it with the whole 4x100-meter relay team. Now Maclin is outside, and now you have to account for him. And if you go three wide and you clean out the box, now all of a sudden – you can't have a safety just walk up in that box and leave single coverage on Wilson and Maclin and DeAnthony Thomas and Travis Kelce, or it's the old pick your poison. Maclin has made everybody better. I talked to Jamal Charles today after practice walking up the hill, and he's re-energized. And one of the biggest reasons he feels like he's got new energy is because Jeremy Macklin's on this team.
Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, joining us here on the game. I know you touched on Marcus Peters real quick. There were questions. I love the pick, going for the upside that he has and the athleticism that he brings to the table, but I know there were questions. So far, has it been smooth in terms of him interacting with everybody and getting out there on the field in addition to the day where he had three picks?
Yeah, very much so, but I don't want to oversell the kid either. I mean, he's also blown coverages so far, and he's goofed some things up, but no, he's been a very good teammate. And the knock on him and the reason the Chiefs were able to get him when they picked him in the first round, or it would have been a top 10 pick, is the fact he had the indiscretions at Washington. He didn't get along with the new coach at UW, and he basically got kicked off the team. Well, that's bad on him. That's bad on him because the coach that recruited him, he played for 3 years, moved and went on, not only moved, he went to USC, who they hate. And now he's thinking, okay, now I get a coach and I don't like. So he had to handle that, and that is a problem. He needed to take care of it. But this is like Bill Snyder recruiting you. You play 3 years for Bill Snyder, and then Bill leaves and goes to Oklahoma. That's what it would be like. And then the guy coming in, you don't like so much. Well, you still got to handle it. That's still a problem that Marcus Peters needs to take care of. But there has been none of that so far at any time that he's been around this Chiefs team. And, again, I don't want to oversell him. He's going to make rookie mistakes. But this guy looks like a Seahawks DB. He's that physical. You guys saw him. Some of you, I mean, when you came to camp, you saw him. He's physically powerful, and he's fast, and he's athletic, and can make unique plays as a corner.
Mitch, before we let you go, it's an incredible story about Eric Berry getting back this fast after his diagnosis last year. And not only that, but being able to work out and stay in shape and choosing to take the treatment the way he did to make that happen. How has he looked getting back out there on the field?
Okay, there is two sides to this story. And the first part of this, John, is that you say, okay, he's back. It is a miracle that he's back from Hodgkin's lymphoma. We got a lot of people listening to us right now that have gone through intense chemotherapy treatments, and it's brutal. All right? He's here. He's in pads. He's on the field. He hasn't missed a practice. He's been here 8 days because he was allowed to come with the rookie. All right, that's the first part of the story. And it's yay, Eric, and champion, a guy that has beaten cancer. But the second part of the story is we've got to put an asterisk there because there's a couple things going on. One, we have to be patient with Eric because everybody thinks, hey, he's up and running. He's going to be the three-time Pro Bowler that returned a 54-yard pick six against the Tennessee Titans and took it to the house against the Philadelphia Eagles on that Thursday night game in 2013. Whoa, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes here. This is a recovering cancer patient. And right now he's on the second, sometimes the third team. The other part of the discussion, we have to be honest here, is this team is loaded. It's safe, and they have two very good first-team safeties right now, and Hussein Abdullah, who might have been the biggest surprise of the last 2 years defensively, and then Ron Parker out of Newberry College, a Division II school in South Carolina, who was turned into a bona fide NFL defensive back. So we just have to kind of like to wait and see. It's very much like the Dontari Poe injury situation. Let's don't get ahead of ourselves and think the Houston Texans game, Eric Berry is going to be running around like his rookie season. And he may have to be a contributor in a B role, if you will, because those two guys ahead of him are pretty good players.
Well, I think that's a good point to caution everybody about Eric Berry. Mitch, we'll let you go. It feels like football season talking to you once again. That's a good sign. But appreciate the time, and we'll do it again next week.
Yep, and we'll just keep right on task here, man. So. And I'm going to put out the invitation. And I do appreciate the people at Hy-Vee making this possible and Frontier Farm Credit. And there's a Hy-Vee here in town as well. But you guys already talked about it. It's very easy to get up here, and it's a blast. It's great to bring kids up here. And it's just easy access. I don't think fans necessarily have realized that, but it's a fun day, man, to come up here and just enjoy all this.
Yep, I went a couple years ago, had a blast, especially if you have kids. I would definitely recommend that as well and echo the thoughts of Mitch. Mitch, appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Yep.
That's Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, joining us here on The Game. We go around college football at 5:10. Next, though, the Royals with an impressive night last night. We haven't even talked about that. Danny Duffy was good. I've got some numbers to back up just how good he was. That's next on The Game.
Get in the game.
In rural Kansas, your dreams are worth pursuing. And those dreams